Now, in recent months, sales of flour and other baking goods have risen as the nation bakes its way through lockdown. Despite our best efforts, the perfect sourdough has seemed beyond the reach of many of us. However, good cooking is an art form. So we decided to invite our scientist, Dr. Shane Bergen from UCD, to think about what is beneath our baking and our cooking and perhaps offer some of us rookie home bakers some hope in the meantime in terms of where we're going wrong. Shane, I suppose, firstly, what has science got to do with baking and cooking?
Yeah, I love to cook, and I guess like many of your listeners, along with the gardening, it's keeping me going at the moment at home. You know, it keeps me happy. And I suppose my fiance sometimes says we've too much of it in terms of all those calories we have to consume. But whilst it is an art form to cook, there is an awful lot of science and basic chemistry that's going on behind the scenes. And I think that being creative in a scientific way can allow you to go beyond just following recipes to being the next level cook. You know, I'm really bigging myself up now in terms of my capacity, but I suppose I'll stay away from that this morning. But there is an awful lot going on, and there's basic reactions happening when you mix things together. And so in your kitchen, what you have are various ways of controlling temperature, and you bring in basic ingredients, and with a little know-how, you can turn those into a variety of things. Take something as simple as making toast, right? Firstly, the smell is completely irresistible to us. What's happening there is you're taking bread and you're heating it up above 100 degrees Celsius. And what happens is the moisture in the bread is being removed, so it's drying. But also it crucially goes above a magic number where a reaction called the Maillard reaction happens. And so the carbohydrates in the toast are caramelizing. And that's what gives that delicious smell and also the irresistible flavour. Well, you need to get above 110 degrees for that to happen. So people would know if you put bread into a very mild oven, it'll just go hard. It won't toast. And so it won't get that special reaction to give you the browning. Same thing happens when you want to cook a steak or nice onions. You want to brown them. So you know the way if you're making a stew, step one is always take your meat, if you're putting meat in, and pop it into the pan and brown it. And then you reduce the heat and add your stock and your vegetables. So the reason you do that is to get that Maillard reaction happening so the meat will taste better.
Mm. Like marshmallows. Marshmallows is another favourite for people,
yeah.
If you're
s'mores.
Roasting your marshmallows. S'mores indeed. Why though are we cooking food in the first place? I mean, nobody else does in terms of the animal race here on Earth. Like, so why are we cooking?
So we cook for lots of reasons, and we've been doing it for an incredibly long time. So when humankind discovered fire, it wasn't too long after that we decided the things that we were hunting and gathering, we were able to cook them. Firstly, they tasted better, which is always good. Secondly, it can remove bacteria that are in there. So if there's something harmful living on the surface of your food, if you cook it, you may kill the bacteria and your food is healthier. But crucially, what cooking does is it starts to pre-digest the food for us. So it's breaking the molecules in the food down such that you can digest them easier. So if you look at something like a human, we spend, these days we spend quite a lot of time eating, but relative to other animals, we don't spend that much time eating. You look at a cow in a field, right? It spends all its day munching away. Horses the same. Humans are able to do an awful lot of other stuff in the free time they have. And I've read some great work by anthropologists and sociologists that say that's where society came from, was all this spare time that we had. You look at the ancient civilizations that grew up around rivers, like the Indus Valley or the Egyptians. They had a surplus of food. They were able to prepare it and cook it in such a way that it was safe. And then they had a lot of time. And that's when they started to organize, develop language and work as societies.
So that's why we have time to sit down and watch Netflix, because of our oven and our toaster.
Absolutely.
And of course, it's important to us all, food, but there's a lot of advice then around, you know, what food is made up of, you know, carbohydrates and fats, etc. How important is all that?
Well, it's important to understand that all food is made out of chemicals. So there is molecules, rather. You see this chemical-free food, and scientists will always kind of have a giggle at that. It's like, what's in there? Nothing. But I think what that's really hinting at is the the industry that's grown up around food, right? So there is an enormous industry out there that's basically consumerist, right? Trying to get us to eat more and thus spend more money. What we have tried to do in science is to empower people so that they can understand what's in their diet to an extent, you know. So you want to understand that you need a balanced diet. So you need some carbohydrates. We're familiar with that. Molecules that are made up of elements like carbon, hydrogen, oxygen and nitrogen. Same with protein, right, which is in meat. We have fats and we have minerals and vitamins and water. And those basic ingredients, they give us energy, but they're also the fundamental blocks that we put into our body to help us repair things in our body and keep us healthy as we go through our lives. So we have to consume food, and in a very elaborate way, that food is absorbed into our bodies through our intestines. And we use that then as a source of energy and as a replenishing source for processes in our body.
Okay, so let's talk about bread and what's going on when you start trying to make bread.
Crucially, yes, absolutely. So bread, you think it's simple. It's just flour and water, right? As you make a simple dough. And she says, sure, like that's as simple as it gets. But I think many people who started to bake bread of late, particularly bread that will rise when you add something into it, will realise it is quite tricky. So you have to add something in to make that dough turn into bread. And bread should be light and fluffy. So we add in yeast. And yeast is a living thing. So it's a single cell fungus. When you add it into the flour and the water, a reaction will occur. And a byproduct of that reaction is a gas, carbon dioxide. And in the right scenario, that'll cause the bread to rise. But we know that if you just add yeast, flour and water, you won't get nice bread. You have to knead it. So you know that 5 minutes that workout you're doing at the kitchen counter to get your bread kneaded. What's happening there is you're turning, you're mixing flour and water, and that produces gluten, right? Which we're all very familiar with now. It's so trendy. And that gluten has to be turned into long strings by the kneading process. And so what you're doing is you're trapping the carbon dioxide gas that's produced in the reaction within the bread. And so in the right scenario, it will rise.
Okay, so that if with the right kneading and the stretching and the folding, etc. So that's normal bread. And then we have sourdough, and we've seen a lot of sourdough novices on social media talking about their failed attempts to get it right. So why is it so complicated?
Indeed, some of your colleagues here, I believe, have been like losing their minds about their inability to get a sourdough going. So what happens in a sourdough is you replace what we call baker's yeast, the stuff you'd buy down in the shop, with wild yeast that comes from the air. And so you create a sourdough starter. So you mix your flour and water, and you let the air at it. And so the bacteria that grows in there, there's this complex reaction that occurs. Ultimately, it's to do the same thing. It's to give off that carbon dioxide gas. But it's a reaction that you need to spend an awful lot more time on maintaining. So you have to feed your sourdough. You have to add more water and more flour so that it's producing the carbon dioxide and other products at a rate that you can use to make bread. So you add a little bit of your starter, which has acid in there and carbon dioxide, into your dough. And if you have it at the right concentrations, your sourdough will rise. But what people are really fall down in is making that starter appropriately and having to figure out the chemistry that goes into it. And so just like doing chemistry in the lab over in the university, which you think of the environment, you think about temperature, you think about what container is it in, think about how much time you've given it and all of those things. So I would say for people who are trying it at home, it's brilliant to think about this in a methodical, scientific way, and that allows you to sort of control variables and make then ultimately your best bread.
Yeah, it's always struck me actually watching Great British Bake Off or things like that, that baking is particularly scientific when it comes to the right amounts and the right temperatures and stuff, whereas cooking, I think, can be a little bit more haphazard in terms of just throwing things in. And what about the role of oxygen in bread making and excluding it or making sure that it's there?
So yeah, it's a good idea to cover your dough when it's rising. So it excludes oxygen and it starts what's called an anaerobic reaction. So a reaction that's happening in the absence of oxygen. And that gives the perfect conditions for your bread to rise. So when I'm making, I don't make sourdough because basically I couldn't be bothered. It's nicer to buy it. But I make everything else. When I'm making stuff like a Danish, I'll cover the dough, wrap it in cling film, and it'll exclude oxygen. And you do see a noticeable difference in how much your dough will rise.
Oh, because I was just putting a tea towel over mine.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't be enough. No, cling film is your best bet, really.
Good to know. Right, so the ingredients for pastry then, and this is a weird one when you think about it, because the ingredients are very similar to that for bread, but you get a very different end product. Why is that?
Well, it's what we're doing to the basic ingredients. So it's the manipulation. So when you make an apple tart, what do you do? Well, I learned from my granny. I never even thought about what was happening. You take cold butter and you add it to flour and you do this rubbing in method until you get a crumb. And so what you're doing there is you're covering the flour with fat molecules, and that prevents the same amount of gluten being made, and then you don't need it, so you're not making these tough long fibres that you would in bread, and so you get a flaky consistency instead, and that's what gives rise to the perfect short crust pastry. And if you want the puff pastry, what you do is you put your flour and butter in layers. And then when you pop it into the oven, the butter will evaporate. It gives off a gas, and doing so, and it lifts the rest of the pastry, and that gives that delicious puff pastry texture.
So again, the same ingredients giving you a very different end product. What about salt then, and what role that all plays?
Well, the first thing to say is that we all take way too much salt in our diet. Salt is there because it makes food taste good. So what it does is it reduces the bitter taste, and it enhances in small quantities the sweet taste, and in larger quantities that meaty or umami flavour. But we do take way too much of it. We really need it, though. If we don't have salt in our diet, we'll die. If we have too much salt in our diet, we're probably going to die. Well, that's a little bit dramatic.
Yeah, but you do have to be very careful.
You have to be careful, indeed, absolutely.
All right, Shane Bergen, thank you very much for coming into us. It's science, but it's also cooking. What a beautiful combination. Thank you for talking to us about all that.